Well, they're back to playing the way that they can. I think they're healthy for one of the first times this season in the last couple of weeks, and it showed. I thought they did a great job earlier in the year, winning a lot of games, had a lot of one-goal victories, but they were dealing with just, you know, everything imaginable between the mumps and different injuries to key players. But they're healthy now for the first time, and feeling a lot much better about how they're playing and certainly how they're pressuring other teams. It's a different Ducks team when they've got everybody in the lineup. They've got a lot more speed and capacity up front.
You take a look at this team and the way they've played all year long, and you mentioned the one-goal games. Number one in the NHL right now, but also number one in the NHL in terms of amount of one-goal games played and amount of one-goal wins. 22-0-6. They have gotten a point in every single one of those games. How have they been able to be so successful in close hockey games this year, Brian?
Well, I do think that they're deeper than most teams. You know, they do have a third and fourth line that can get you goals at key moments. I don't think that the head coach is particularly pleased with the number of one-goal games. He'd like to have, obviously, a more comfortable margin some nights. But I do believe that it's a good characteristic of a team that finds ways to win those tight games as they look forward to the playoffs in the spring. Because everyone that I've talked to, and especially some of the new players like Brian Kesler and Clayton Stoner, they've been impressed with their ability to find a way to get it done, even on the nights where they're not particularly playing well.
So are we talking about this Ducks team still being able to find another gear in your mind?
Well, I think we've seen a little bit of the next gear in the last week, just because they are healthy for the first time. And so, you know, when you're healthy, everybody's in the right spot. You don't have a
right
fourth line player playing second line minutes, and you don't have a defenseman, you know, called up from the American Hockey League forced to play on the road against, you know, top personnel. So remember, Anaheim has used 13 defensemen this season, and they had to because of their injuries and illnesses. Now they're back to their starting six. The very first time in the last couple of weeks that we haven't seen since the first week of the regular season. So that makes a big difference. They're playing much better defensively as a result, allowing fewer scoring chances against, and certainly the transition, moving the puck from defense to forwards has been a lot smoother in the last couple of weeks.
He is the color voice of the Anaheim Ducks, Brian Hayward, joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. Tonight, it looks like Frederik Andersen will get the start, and this will be the 38th start of the season for Andersen, if so. Going into the year, we wondered how the goaltenders would be utilized in Anaheim. I don't know, did you expect Andersen to be number four in the NHL in terms of starts at this point in the year?
No, I did not, and the reason being is that they're real goaltending hot prospect John Gibson, who's 21, was expected to challenge Frederik Andersen for playing time right out of the chute this year. And then Gibson ran into injury problems, and I think the organization has made a decision that they want him now to prove that he can stay healthy. He's had some issues with problems in the past. This year it was a groin injury, so they've sent probably the best goaltending prospect in the world, not playing in the NHL, back down to the American League to play a whole pile of games. And so that's just kind of meant that they've had to lean on Andersen night in and night out. And he's responded. He's only 25, and he's a massive kid. He's, you know, 6'4", 240 pounds, and he's really worked hard on his fitness, and he wants to play every night. And he's given them no reason not to play him every night.
So you're a former goaltender. What are your observations? He's a really big goalie. He's tall. He's imposing. But your observations as to Frederik Andersen as a goalie?
Doesn't beat himself. Doesn't over-challenge or overplay situations. So he's always at least got a chance to make a save. And one of the things he did during the offseason is he worked a lot on improving his leg strength so that he would be a little bit better moving laterally and getting across to make a save on a rebound. And we've seen that this season. He's much better at that this year. He's battled a little bit of inconsistencies like a lot of young goaltenders do, where they get into a rut and they give up a bad goal a game for one or two or three games in a row. But I tell you what, he's playing right now the best that he has played at any point this season. I think he's also, although he'll never admit it, I think he's using the All-Star snub as an extra little bit of motivation for him to show people what he's all about.
Yeah, and a final question on goaltending for you, and that's about how this group looks and how it's utilized going forward. Like, do we expect Anderson to be the workhorse down the stretch, or do we see maybe Gibson come back up, or somebody else get some more playing time? Like, what is the utilization, I guess, approach going down the stretch here?
Well, I think the plan is they signed Ilya Grigalov because they wanted a backup who has a history of success in the playoffs if things go wrong. So he's really just an insurance plan. And the Ducks, I believe after the All-Star break, they have five sets of back-to-back remaining on their schedule. So they're going to need somebody to go in there that they think can win games. And they've been trying to build up Grigalov and get him back to total game shape because he wasn't even expecting to play this season. He was sitting on the couch for 3 months before the Ducks signed him, and there's been some rust here in the early going. But as for Freddie Anderson, it's just going to have to play out. If he continues to do what he's done so far, there's absolutely no reason why they wouldn't expect that the next step in his evolution of a goaltender is to be as good in the playoffs as he's been in the regular season. So I think on that, only time will tell. And in the meantime, they have Gibson developing in the American Hockey League. And most people will tell you that there's not much question that he's the best guy down there.
Just a couple more with Brian Hayward, the color voice of the Anaheim Ducks here on Hockey Central at noon. Ryan Getzlaf was a Hart Trophy finalist last year. He leads the team in scoring once again this year. A case where Getzlaf has just picked up where he left off from last year?
He's even better. He's been better this season than last year. He's been more dominant. You know, he's had to work a lot of the year without, you know, any kind of a regular winger. Corey Perry missed a whole pile of games with a knee injury and with the mumps. And so Getzlaf has been, I think, at times carrying this team on his back. And he's really turned into a great leader. If you talk to the guys in the locker room, they will all tell you that this is Getzlaf's team. And remember, you know, during this past off season, with the retirement of Teemu Selanne and Saku Koivu, some pretty strong voices left the Anaheim locker room. And I think Getzlaf has kind of stepped into that void. Even though he was the captain before, I think this is the year that it truly has become Ryan Getzlaf's team. And I think he's really thriving, you know, under these circumstances.
Now, nobody can project a guy missing as much time as Corey Perry has missed, and that's a big reason why there's a big drop-off from Getzlaf to everybody else in terms of points. But did you expect there to be as much of a drop there from 49 to then a group at 29? Like, were you expecting a little bit more in terms of all-round offense from some of the depth players?
Well, it's been the injuries more than anything. I mean,
right.
When you talk about the top six forwards for Anaheim, you've had Kyle Palmieri out for a significant amount of the schedule with two different injuries. You've had Corey Perry out for a significant, you know, amount of the schedule. So I think when you lose two of your top six guys for an extended period, I think that explains the drop-off. Perry's not even 100% now, but he's getting back up to speed, and he's starting to roll a little bit offensively and get more goals. So I would expect that they would close the gap. I would say this is that this should be a concern to a lot of the rest of the teams in the NHL. When I look at the Ducks' third and fourth line, I think Jakob Silverberg and Andrew Cogliano and Devontae Smith-Pelly have all underproduced in terms of what their goal-scoring expectations were in the first half of the season. And they're all starting to heat up. They're all starting to get more chances. Silverberg in particular has started to score. And that really bodes well, I think, for the last half of the deck.
Final question for you, and that's on maybe a somewhat surprising player. I think everybody knew that Sammy Vatanen was a very, very good prospect on that back end, but you take a look at his 29 points and the production that he's had so far this year. How much of a surprise has Vatanen's campaign been to you?
Well, I think it's a surprise in that not only is he getting, you know, first power play minutes and even strength minutes, but the real surprise for me has been how they've used him defensively. I mean, he's often the part of the first penalty-killing tandem that goes out on the ice. So as much as the offensive numbers you like with Sammy Vatanen, I think the best part of his development this year has been his how hard he competes in the defensive zone. Not a big guy, he's just a little guy, but he's blocking shots. I think he's second in block shots on the team right now. So that's been the surprising part of his game. We all knew that he could be an offensive force, and at the Olympics last year when he quarterbacked, you know, the Team Finland's power play, everyone saw what he could do when he was kind of given the reins. So I think that had been the plan here for a while. But I'd be lying if I said that I would have picked Sammy Vatanen as part of the first penalty-killing defensive right. unit trot out onto the ice every night.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate the time this afternoon. I know it's a game day and you've got a lot to do. So thank you so much for spending a little time with us and have a good telecast tonight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome.